It's Sucks FM 107.2, and it's that time of the evening where we get to do the sex show. We get to talk about all of your things relationship, all of your things sex, all of your things intimate, all of your things fun, and all of your things serious involving that kind of lifestyle. And obviously, I, Dweezy, am not joined. I'm not by myself. I'm joined by, obviously, Lebo. Lebo, what do we have on the cards for tonight?
So tonight we're going to have Hated Orated, where we go around campus and we hear what the University of Pretoria students think about certain concepts. And we also have the do's and don'ts of sexy social media, where we talk about the do's and don'ts of sexy social media.
And also our executive producer, Mike, always comes loaded with either a story or a question or something.
Or a way in which I can try and make you feel as uncomfortable as possible. All right, so tonight we're looking at the burning question. The burning question actually relates back to Hated and Rated. In both of them, we're talking about contraception. In one, we're looking at whose responsibility is it to decide on the contraception. That's the burning question. And then in Hated and Rated tonight, we are looking at whether or not the University of Pretoria hates or rates the morning after poll.
So those are basically the little snippets of what's coming up. If you want to get in contact with us throughout the show, 061-720-1072 on the WhatsApp line. And if at any point you want to contribute to the show in the future, mike@tuxfm.co.za. Let's get into what we have tonight.
We are young. We are Tux FM 107.2.
It's Tux FM 107.2, and this is your sex show. As we always like to start the show off, we are going to be getting into your relationship gurus, which is what we claim we are. And that's Dweezy and Lebo. Also, producer Mike comes with the question and comes with a concern that we have to answer. And today's big one is about something I have many of, and that's exes. Yeah, what's the question for tonight?
Okay, so this person emailed us, well, emailed me, mike@tuxfm.co.za. And basically, I feel for this person because I've been there before. Yeah, this I'm not going to give too much away, but this person has got what's known as the feels hang up. And
shame.
Yeah, and this person is still hung up on their ex.
Did I send you an email?
So you've done that a lot, right?
Definitely.
Hi, relationship gurus. Dwayne and Lebo, I dated this guy for 2 years and I just can't get over him. It's been about 6 months now and I really need some advice. Can you help me out?
So I think a common problem, I think a genuine common problem is what we have over here. It's that you've either made a bad decision regarding breaking up with a person, mm-hmm. or you've realized what they've lost and they've moved on and they've moved into someone else's sheets and you don't necessarily know what to do. For me, I'm still not over like one of my exes, for example.
Well, duh, you have so many of them.
No, I'm over most of them. But I think probably like the most recent one is the one I can't get over, and that's purely because I think I made a mistake breaking up with them. And what I've had to do is not, everyone's always like, oh, what's the song where I'm going to get over you, so I need to get under someone else.
Oh, that doesn't work.
How did I know that Dwayne
was going to say something like that?
It definitely won't work. I don't know. Have you ever had to get over the exes?
The right answer, Dwayne, is time. You take time and you get over them and you heal properly before you go and move on to someone else, because you're going to take your pain into the next situation and then the same thing is going to happen again.
You see,
just take your time.
I'll give you advice that you shouldn't do, maybe, because Label will give you that advice that you should do. You shouldn't carry on speaking to them after the relationship, because you're going to carry on being hung up on them. You probably shouldn't sleep with them again, which is what I do. You probably shouldn't go and try and get into relationships with them again, go on dates with them, be friends with their friends, because all of those things have resulted in me not getting over my ex. And I wish I could be like, oh no, let's just like not do any of that. I can't. I physically can't, because sometimes also that ex may be the person you really want to be with.
And I think one thing you really need to do is block them everywhere, because you don't want to see them. Like, you really don't need to see them. When you go onto Instagram, they're the first thing you see. When you open WhatsApp status, they're the first thing you see. You go onto Facebook, they're the first thing you see. If you see them constantly, then it's going to be really hard to get over them.
If I may, I'm just going to chime in here. The worst thing that you can possibly do after a breakup is dwell on what the breakup was, or how good the good times were. So and you do that every single time you see them on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Step number one, block them on social media.
No, I can't. I need to know what my exes are up to afterwards. I have to, because I need to know if the person they're moving on to next is better than me or worse.
As the executive producer on the show, I'm just going on record and saying that is terrible advice.
No, that's what I said. I'm going to give you everything I say now, don't do.
Right.
Yeah.
That's my advice.
This is why you're always getting over exes, and you can't get over exes.
I'm pathetic.
Listen to Lebo is what we're trying to say.
My community is alive. This is Tux FM.
Tux FM 107.2. This is your sex show, and we've got your burning question. Producer Mike is going to be giving us our burning question for the week.
Yeah, the burning question is where we get a little bit more serious about things. We've spoken about who buys the condoms previously. So what I want to look at today is birth control. Yeah. Whose responsibility in a relationship is it to do the birth control? Is it the guys? Is it the girls? If you're in a relationship where you don't need it, how do you attack birth control in a relationship?
You need to sit down and talk about it. It's one of those things. Me and my boyfriend did that. We sat down, we talked about it, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to get this done. The reason women have to do the birth control is because there's very little birth control for men. So yeah, it's going to be really hard.
Condom.
Yeah, and very expensive if
or
you want to get... Yeah.
I mean, we're still quite young.
Yeah, I think for me as well, it also depends on the relationship. I've been in relationships where she's been on the pill, but I still use a condom because, you know, that paranoia is still there.
Yeah, I think birth control is extremely important. I would always say that birth control in the female sense, so the pills, the morning after pills, all the other various forms of birth control, they have a more direct effect on the woman's body, which means I've always said that then it should be down to the woman to decide which one she's comfortable with in her body, because sometimes the pill may not work for that woman's body.
Yeah.
So then she needs to decide which alternative contraceptive.
So she can insist on you using a condom, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think she can insist on you using the condom if none of the others. And I know there's a friend of mine who has she has reactions to the pill. She can't take the morning after pill as well. And then the other procedures are too expensive for her to go and get done.
Or invasive.
Or invasive. And then she's just like, I'm not doing any of this. And if you want to make sure that we don't have a child, there's a little piece of latex that you need to put on.
And also at the end of the day, as a female, it's not your responsibility, but when you get pregnant, it's like it could literally be you and you alone, and you're going to be in the situation where if they decide to dip, you can't dip on the baby because it's inside you. If he decides to dip, then you're on your own.
I definitely think that the birth control, more than a condom, is not a two-way street. I still think that it's the woman, because we can't insist and be like, Label, you have to get the pull. You have to get the pull, because if she can't use the pull, then we can't carry on insisting. So it then becomes her domain to decide whether they use it or not.
And they are very invasive, because I got the implant and the side effects are the worst. And they had to put me on another method of birth control to control the side effect of the first method of birth control.
So your inception birth controlling is what you're saying. I think the reason why we need to ask these questions is because birth control, as young people, we think about STDs and we think about, and on a one-night stand, you're like, all right, cool, I'm going to wear a condom because it's going to be safe for me in the long run. But when you're in a relationship, you need to wear a condom for other reasons. Or, you know, you need to be on birth control for other reasons. Cool. There we go. That's your burning question. If you have anything that you want to add to this conversation, all you need to do is WhatsApp us on 061-720-1072. Tux FM 107.2. This is The Sex Show.
My community, my Tux FM.
You are tuned in to Tux FM 107.2. This is The Sex Show with Dwayne, producer Mike, and Lebel. And this is going to be a confession session where you send your confession to producer Mike and we talk about it on air.
So we've had some very interesting confessions this month, I have to say. But this one is probably the most interesting confession I have ever, ever heard from a young lady ever in the entire history of everness.
Hi, Lebel, Dwayne, and Mike. I'm on the confession session today because I'm a young lady and I really enjoy watching porn. I think I might be addicted.
So there you go. You heard it. You often hear of guys being addicted to porn.
Yeah.
But you very rarely hear of girls being addicted to porn. So what's the vibe here? Because I don't know about you, but I got the impression that she feels a little bit remorseful about her confession.
No, I definitely think she feels somewhat ashamed and somewhat despondent at this is what it's sort of come to. I have never been addicted to porn. Are we saying, producer Mike, that porn is nudes as well? Like getting nudes from people?
No, I think that's sexting. I think that's two different things.
So, okay. You see, because I'm well-versed in that department, so the porn normally isn't necessary for me.
That can be unhealthy as well, though.
Exactly. That's why I try to, like, where's that line? Where's that little, like, that barrier? Because I think an addiction to porn is really, really tough, first and foremost, to get out
of.
Because it's something that you can then only get off to. And I won't mention, but there's someone in my past who watched too much porn to the point where when we would want to be intimate, it wouldn't be the porn, so therefore they wouldn't get off. because of it.
And the relationship and is going to really suffer. Toxic. Yeah.
And that's really, really bad. I don't know. Your take on pornography?
I mean, I think the problem with porn is that it gives unrealistic expectations of sex. So you watch porn and you expect real sex to be like that when really it isn't. The girl is not going to have the most arched back in the world or have the most amazing. It's not going to happen. It's not real. These people are trained to do this. They literally do this for a living. So regular level from the hood, how is she going to arch her back like that? She does not know how to do it.
I also just think that there's too much happening porn that it dilutes what you actually want and what you're actually keen on. So you'd think maybe you're keen on buff daddy, whatever does this. But you never get to end up meeting buff daddy at university.
No, exactly.
So then it never tailors you to actually what you want and maybe what will actually, like, you know, get you going.
I think my biggest thing is you're never going to get it in real life. So look, I'll be 100% honest. I watch porn quite regularly, but I wouldn't say that I'm addicted to it because it's become an everyday thing for me. Okay, not an everyday thing.
You said what you said.
Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is, but in the back of my mind, subconsciously, I'm saying to myself, like, this isn't real. Like, people do not behave like this in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also question whether porn stars enjoy the sex they have in the porn. So if they kind of enjoy
it. I doubt it.
It's all fake. It's literally not real. It's like a movie. It's not real. You can't expect it to be real.
I would also say, though, that this is something that people must speak about. If you have an addiction and you're in a relationship, you must tell your partner, listen, it's not you, it's me. I have watched too much porn, or I am watching too much porn. I need to find something that'll take my mind off it. The one thing that I knew, I used to masturbate a lot, for example. I would just do more academic work. And then it would make me just keep it off of my mind. Even though there's the wonderful anecdote, which is when you study and you're bored, what do you always turn to the most? I just found my academics was able
but
to
distract
me. But
how do you get into a relationship and tell your partner that I'm addicted to porn?
I've got to do more academic work. No, I think you are open and you're honest and you say from the get-go, hey, look, these are my kinks, this is what I do, and take it from there. I think in this instance, the young lady who chose to remain anonymous for the third week in a row, but in confession sessions, you're allowed to do that. The young lady, I don't think this is affecting her relationship just yet.
Turn your Wi-Fi off, turn your data off when you get the urge. Rather do it naturally. I've always said to people, if you're going to masturbate and you're going to do those kinds of things, people forget that it's not about watching it and then just getting it. It's about the sensation. They should be doing things that make them feel the sensation, and that should be enough to get them to climax. It shouldn't be that the big pants came off on the man in the screen and then all of a sudden,
I live the Tux life. This is Tux FM.
So we're going to check your technique next. And producer Mike, what technique are we checking this week?
Right, so on Tux FM, we've been telling this little story. And on The Sex Show, if you've been listening every week, you've heard that there's a little story going on. So we were in the Uber last week and we were discussing, now you've reached this person's place. But keep in mind that you have spent a full day out and about. You've gone to class. Yeah. You've needed to go and walk on campus, and it's now getting spring. It's a little bit warmer, which means that you sweat a little bit more, and you've gone to the groove. You've now jolled. You've been in the party like somebody spilled a drink on your leg. So the question is now, you've ended up at this person's house. Mm-hmm. You are in the process of getting intimate with this person, and you feel sticky. And you realize that you want to freshen up. Now, freshen up can be showering, freshen up can be wet wipes. It's up to you. But the point is, you feel a bit sticky. So my question is, check your technique for today is, do you full out say to them, listen, I need to go and shower? Or do you just ignore it and hope that they don't notice?
Don't ignore it. No. No, there's nothing worse than having relations with someone who smiles.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Agreed.
I die.
I use this all the time, and it's one of the biggest things that works. Let's go and shower together.
Ooh, oh, smart.
In a nice steamy warm shower with somebody. And there you're able to then also clean all your little parts. Make sure, you know, if you're uncircumcised, there's no little things underneath the foreskins. You get to just make sure. But it's like they don't go into their room. Like I also said in the Uber story from the previous week, you do not want them to lose interest, or you do not want them to lose focus.
Yeah.
Which means, like in the Uber, you want to keep them alive the whole time. Here, you don't want them to sit in the room and wait for you to finish showering and clean and all the stuff, because then they're going to go on their phone, they're going to get tired, they might nap.
The issue of consent is also a big thing, because if you're showering with somebody, that means that there's many, many different steps that they need to take in order to get to that point. Without outright asking them, yo, are we going to get jiggy? Like, hey, let's get naked together in a shower, I think is a very, very good indication that that person is consenting. Mm. If they say no, then get into the Uber and leave.
Guys shower with the coldest water ever. So now I need to be in a shower with you.
Remember
that, freezing cold water.
I'll be honest with you. I'll go in and you'll shower and I'll clean you and I'll make sure you're good, and then you'll get out for the towel and then I'll quickly do the quick wash and then I'll get out after you. The whole point is just for you to be in there with me. Like I said it previous weeks as well, I'm there to pleasure you. I'm there to make sure the shower's good.
I'll just
you.
Do it quickly in the sink. Like, be like, can I go into the toilet? 5 minutes, quickly in the sink. I'll be done. I'm out. And then we can.
Like in A Star Is Born with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. Yeah, there's that very graphic scene where Lady Gaga goes in and she just basically like,
clean up.
Just a quick basin.
Don't act like you haven't done it in the morning when you have to be at work or at school. You've done it before, so might as well.
Yeah, but not for, no, it's different in sex. It slaps differently with sex. Like, I don't know. I need to make sure that I'm clean before and after. I normally have two showers, and the individual shower that I'll have will be post-sex. I use the shower as foreplay. Even though it's a little bit rubbery, we use the shower as foreplay to take it to the bed, because by then all that needs to come off is a towel.
I have to ask though, what happens if they've got a bath, but like a really small bath?
See, I always know if I'm going to end up having sex. If I go to an event, before, I don't care if I've had a shower in the morning. Before I go anywhere, I shower first. I make sure I'm clean. Because anything could happen.
I think definitely make sure that you try and instigate a shower with the person. If they don't want to do the shower with you and they're already clean or something and you're the only one that's sticky, go with labels and just go to the bathroom, wet, wipe it down, and you're good.
The future is now. This is Tux FM.
It's Tux FM 107.2, and our next little segment is Hated or Rated. And it's basically where I would go, or Lebo would go, and we would walk around, chat to the UP students, and give them a question or a concept and see if they hated or rated. And this week, we're asking them whether or what they think about morning after pill and whether they would use it or not. This is what UP students had to say.
I mean, never used it, but I rate it. Why should you be having random people's children?
Like, in theory, I rate the morning after pill because I think it's a useful addition to anyone's, like, whole life toolkit. The morning after pill is a pretty reliable way of avoiding the consequences of not having sex with a condom.
I rate it. Big time rate.
I really feel that it is a great emergency contraceptive, very necessary for women who have had unprotected sex.
There's a form that you need to fill in, and not many people know that. So it's very regulated in the sense, like, you can't just go and somewhere get it and, like, use it randomly. There's also, like, specified regulations on how many times you can use it. So I think that aspect is good. It's kind of like abortion. You're either for it or against it. And I'm for it. So I rate it in the sense that it is very good as a last resort and it is regulated, which makes it better in my opinion.
The future is now. This is Tux FM.
Tux FM 107.2, this is The Sex Show, and we have reached a stage now where I get to judge Dwayne, because Dwayne sends nudes all the time. It's the do's and don'ts of sexy social media on Tux FM 107.2. So this week, the theme is, how many is too much? I read this article about a trial in the UK that is taking place right now, where somebody has been, not catfishing, this person is a real person, and this person has been speaking to over 1,000 people on a daily basis.
Wow.
What?
Sending news, texting, doing all sorts of things. I just wonder, like, how though? Like, how does this work?
How do you keep in touch with so many people? How do you remember to talk to every single one of them every single day? Do you just broadcast message everything to everyone at the same time?
One wonders. Look, the trial is actually moving forward based on privacy laws in the UK. So that's something that we did touch on in previous weeks. Yeah. But the biggest thing for me is, how many people can you actually keep on the line before you feel morally miffed?
I think maximum amount of people that you can keep on that line, especially if you're in the vibing phase. If you're just vibing with a few people and you've not, like, exclusively committed to one or two, unless you're exclusively committed to one, I think you should be speaking to three max.
Three max.
Yeah. I don't think there's a limit if you're single and you're trying to find someone.
There is a limit, though.
No. There has to be a limit.
There has to be a limit.
Talk to as many people as you want to talk to. You're trying to find someone to settle down with, no? So talk to as many. If you need to talk to 1,000, talk to 1,000. I mean, how? I don't know how you're going to keep it up, but if you want to, do it.
No, I think there's just like a... You're not the Bachelor. You know, you're not playing the Bachelor here where you can talk to 20 different people at the same time. You're not going to mean it with all of them, which means you're wasting your time, you're wasting their time. And the whole point is, if you're out there trying to look for someone, you do not want to first and foremost waste your time, because you're going to end up, and I've done it before, where I've spoken to like 8 or 9 people at the same time, and with 3 of them I'm just copying and pasting the messages that I'm sending to the one to the others, and I'm having the same conversation, so, just with different responses.
First of all, I always throw the coin onto the opposite side. If you were in the situation where somebody was talking to you and they were copying pasting messages, how would you feel?
Oh, I would lose it.
Okay.
It, obviously. So like, yeah, the other thing is, for me, I always think about the future. I'm very pragmatic in the way in which we look at sexy social media, just based on what's going to happen in the future when this person, you know, takes your nudes and sends it out, or when or what happens in the future when Bay goes into Instagram and sees that there are like 19 different people that you've been speaking to at the same time that you were talking to that person. Then how do you deal with that?
I'm still just there where I'm like, if I'm going to be getting into something, and I will be fine with sharing your attention with 2 other people, for example.
Yeah.
Because then it's for you to work and show your worth and be like, this is how I'm going to impress you and how I'm going to make you realize that I'm your one. I feel like as soon as you start getting to like 9 or 10 people, they don't care about any of you. Like, generally, they don't, and you don't care about any of them. They all just become like people,
things
that you maybe just want to use famous, and then go
maybe
away.
Maybe talk to a lot, but then have a few special ones. Like the 3.
Have one person that you are talking to, and make sure that you meet that person face to face all the time.
My chat is like, also when you're talking to the people, you'd want to meet up. You do not have the social capacity or physical capacity to be able to meet up with 10 different people.
No, unless
they all show up Kustrip or TSC one night together, and then they're all there busy shaking hands with each other, they're boys, and then you're there like, oh, hello, this is my entire WhatsApp chat.
But that drama sounds like fun. Like, all of this sounds like fun. Talking to 2,000 people, what?
Okay.
Today we don't listen to Lebo in the segment. Today we listen to me. Okay.
My community is alive. This is Tax FM.
You're tuned into Tax FM 107.2. This is The Sex Show. Next up is Shout Out to My Ex, where you send in a shout out to your ex. Mike, where do you get these people?
I just walk on campus and I'm like, hey, what's up? Do you want to give a shout out to your ex? And it's like, I don't need to go far, is what I'm trying to say. I just walk around campus and I'm like, hey, like,
my biggest worry is that I'm going to have another ex shout out to me, and then I have to sit in.
Because you have 5 million of them. Maybe you should stop having exes.
I'll try. I mean,
I think she hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, like, I want to be with someone. It's just sometimes difficult.
No.
And we'll probably hear why from what they have to say today.
From what they say, yeah, yeah. Okay, so this story, young lady, it got very intimate very quickly. Take a listen.
Shout out to my ex who thought he was the greatest thing in bed, and he used to call himself the bomb. However, he really, really wasn't. It's partly my fault because I let him think he was the bomb, but now I can actually say he was not the bomb.
He's a dud. He's a dud.
I love how she uses the phrase, he thought that he was the bomb. Like that means that you know that he said it. He's like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm the bomb in bed. Like, you know what I mean?
I think maybe he did.
Yeah.
And it's subjective. I think I am pretty decent in bed.
Yes, but you don't say that though. You don't refer to yourself in the third person, and it's like, yeah, Dwayne is the bomb in bed. You know what I mean?
I mean, there's once or twice where I've had to toot my own horn.
I don't say it, period.
No, I don't give them any expectation.
Nope.
At all.
Because what if you're whack? Then you need to live up to that standard that you set up.
For sure.
Don't be
sure.
Whack. I think that's what it comes down to.
But it always, it comes down to so many other things though.
Yeah,
like the scenario, the situation, the point that I'm trying to make is, I dated somebody for a very long time who claimed, and this was something that I found out from experience, who claimed that she was really, you know, she was out there.
Yeah.
And I think the phrase that she used was like extra, like I'm an extra person in bed. And it did not turn out to be that way at all. In fact, it was very conservative.
Yeah, you know those people who overtext, they're always talking big game. And then when they get there, it's nothing. They literally have nothing.
If you want a shout out to your ex on TaxFM 107.2, all you need to do is email mike@taxfm.co.za, or you can WhatsApp us on 06 17201072.